Big thanks to Keith Teklitz for editing this episode.
Picking up things that have been strewn along the path, talking about Netflix Q type movies. The next couple ones of these I'm going to kind of group some together. The movies that I'm going to talk about today are Pete's Dragon, the BFG. It was a Steven Spielberg film, but it was a adaptation of a Roald Dahl book. I think most people around the world have read Roald Dahl books, but I could be wrong. You know, he's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Willy Wonka and the Great Glass Elevator, James and the Giant Peach, which is one of my all-time favorite kids' books. I did so many book reports on James and the Giant Peach, it's not even funny. I love that book still today. I was a little disheartened by the Tim Burton adaptation. While there's many things that I love about that adaptation of it, I'd really like to see a well-done live-action version of that book. It's wonderful, people. It's just wonderful. Go read it today. It won't take you very long. Anyway, so we're going to talk about the BFG. We're also going to talk about Jungle Book, the latest one. First one I'll talk about is the last one that we just watched on streaming, and that was Pete's Dragon. That was a surprisingly good show. You know, I'm old enough to where I was a kid when the first Pete's Dragon came out with the cartoon version of Elliot the Dragon, who was helping Pete. And it was a musical. It had Helen Reddy and it had Mickey Rooney in it and Red Buttons. And it was a fun show. I remember enjoying it as a kid. I really liked Elliot. I don't know if I wanted to have my own pet dragon, but I sure enjoyed watching Pete with his. You know, I liked the music and all that kind of thing. Now, some of those songs like Candle in the Water are pretty cringeworthy, but there's still, you know, some that are pretty fun. A dragon. I swore I saw a dragon with big red eyes and big red teeth and da 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 da. And Mickey Rourke's dancing with all the people in the bar and they think he's crazy. Anyway, that was a fun show from my youth. I was a little bit wary of watching the remake when it came out because it was, of course, a CGI dragon and it was different. It's kind of a Sully dragon where he's furry and cuddly but fearsome as well. It has Bryce Dallas Howard as the woman that takes Pete in, and Robert Redford is actually her father. And it was funny, as I was watching it, I'm like, you know, Robert Redford kind of looks a lot like Mickey Rooney now at his age. His eyes kind of look like Mickey Rooney's. But I thought they did a really good job with the story. It was different, of course. In the first movie, they had Pete running away from his adoptive family, who are just these, you know, backwoods hillbilly people that abused him and made him do all the work for him. And Ellie was helping him escape from that. Here, the boy's parent, really, really good scenes, heartfelt. He's a little kid. He's driving with his parents and he's reading a book to them. And they say, oh, we're so proud of you. And you're such a brave boy and all these things. And then a deer runs out and they get in a car accident and they are both killed and he's thrown in alone. And he's like 6 years old or something like that. He's left by himself out there. Eventually he finds Elliot and he grows up in the woods with Elliot as his friend, the dragon. And of course the dragon can camouflage himself so that nobody can see him and those kinds of things. And so he's been living in the woods for all these years. You go forward to when, you know, I think it was 10 years or something like that. Eventually he's discovered in the woods and, you know, eventually they find Elliot and things like that. But anyway, I don't want to go into that too much, but it was a really good movie. I really enjoyed it, actually. The kids liked it. Some of them were like, oh, Pete's Dragon, I don't want to watch that. So anyway, so let's talk about the BFG. I had read the BFG years ago when I was a kid, but it was just one of those that I read, kind of like The Witches. I just kind of read it and liked it, but I never went back to it. I didn't remember everything that I knew about it. But yeah, the Willy Wonka, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory books, I read many, many times. I just told you my love of James and the Giant Peach. And I, like I said, I read other ones, but those are the most memorable to me. Another book that I loved, which was not written by Roald Dahl, but I don't remember who wrote it, was Mr. Poppin's Penguins. I read that book a lot, too. It was up there with James and the Giant Peach, but not quite as good as James and the Giant Peach. Yeah, Mr. Popper's Penguins is another one of my favorites. Since we're talking about childhood books, you know, of course, Judy Blume is pretty popular. I never have actually read Hello, God, It's Me, Margaret. I've read parts of it, and I've, you know, I guess because I wasn't a girl, that one wasn't pushed on me. But Tales of the Fourth Grade Nothing, I remember reading, I think, when I was in the fourth grade. I liked that book. It seemed, at the time, you know, when I was a kid, that this was a more sophisticated book than what the other kids were reading. But I've gone back to read it since and thought, no, this wasn't a very sophisticated book. It was very, I guess, appropriate for the age. But I don't know, James and the Giant Peach just seems so much more intricate to me than Tales of the Fourth Grade Nothing. But I enjoyed that one as well. But anyway, I'm not talking about childhood books. I'm talking about movies that were based on childhood books. So the BFG, I thought, was a pretty good movie. I really enjoyed it. I thought the animation in it was really good. I thought, I don't know, it's kind of Polar Express-y. But either I'm getting used to that. But it wasn't as photo-real animation like that one was. But I really liked the animation. I thought, you know, it's a pretty short book when you look at the book, the BFG. And so because it was so short, it was able to take a lot of time with some of these scenes and really do it out in animation in a delightful way. BFG stands for the Big Friendly Giant. This little girl gets taken by the Big Friendly Giant pretty much because she's seen him. And he doesn't want anything bad to happen to her, or he doesn't want her to reveal his secret that he is a giant. Because the giants live in this different realm outside of England, and nobody really knows about them. And so he wants to keep it that way. He is different than the other giants, because the other giants are just like what all the stories talk about. You know, they're bad, and they like to eat people and steal children, and you know, just do all the things, the bad things you've heard about giants doing. Where this is a friendly giant, and what the friendly giant does is he collects dreams, and he's kind of an outcast among the other giants. He has this hobby, he loves to collect dreams, and so he goes into the city to collect dreams. And this girl discovers him, and he doesn't want anybody to know, so he brings her back with him. And it turns out, as you go through the movie and the book, I'm sure, that, it was interesting, as I was watching the movie, I'm like, okay, yeah, I kind of remember that from reading the book. But then there were other things where I was like, I don't remember that at all. So I haven't gone back to read the book, but I was wondering how much of it was from the book and how much, if there was anything that was added to make it different or for filler. But like I said, there wasn't so much jam-packed into the book that it allowed the animators and storytellers to kind of relish in a lot of these fun scenes that are in the book. Particularly, I'm thinking of, so, you know, they become friends, the girl and the giant, and eventually we learn that he had another friend that had lived with him at one point. And but that person, I think, had been killed by his brothers or whatever, the other giants. And so he definitely doesn't want that to happen to this child. And so he's very protective. And of course, the child, being from a Roald Dahl book, is very curious and wants to discover things about the giants and is interested in this dream-catching thing. And so the giants can kind of smell there's been a human around, you know, fee-fi-fo-fum kind of thing. There's this scene where the big friendly giant is going to take the child out with him to catch dreams and go to the dream world at the top of the hill kind of thing. And so they're leaving, and he has her in his little bag or whatever. His brother giants challenge him, and they end up, you know, roller skating on cars and just doing a whole bunch of things. And this scene goes on for a really long time. It was kind of nice to watch a movie where, you know, if this was even a Harry Potter movie, these other book adaptations, a scene like that couldn't have lasted as long as it did, because there's so much to tell in the, you know, if you're doing a movie adaptation of one of the Harry Potter books, there's so much in that book that you have to get to that it can only do, you know, like the spider scene or some other scene. You know, it has to be pretty quick and move along, and the plot has to keep going. But this, I mean, this scene where they were roller skating on cars and he was trying to save the girl and make sure that she didn't get captured and all these things was just, again, went on for a really long time. And it was all computer animation. And my personal opinion was the animation was excellent. The facial features of the giant, the friendly, well, I guess all of them, but I was paying particular attention to the friendly giant, was just real detailed and intricate. You could really get the emotion of what he was thinking through his facial expressions. And I thought just that was really well done. And, you know, eventually the giants have this plot that they're going to take over the world, or at least London, and the girl kind of comes up with a scheme as to how they can defeat the other giants, but the friendly giant is going to have to make himself known and go to the Queen of England and work this plan out together. And so, you know, he doesn't want to do that. He knows how people feel about giants. He's worried about their fear of him and that they'll attack him and he won't be accepted and all these things. Eventually, he does reveal himself to the queen, and she invites him into her castle. And he has a meal with them, and they plan things, and he introduces them to his fizzy witzel, or well, I can't remember exactly what the name of his drink is that makes you fart. And of course, the kids love that part, right, where they're farting, and the queen farts, and all these things. And so it was a really fun movie to watch as a family. But even if I wasn't with the kids or with the family, I really enjoyed the movie quite a bit. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with the animation. I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the source material, with Roald Dahl. He knows how to tell a great story and to add humor and emotion in these things on a kid's level. And I think Steven Spielberg did a good job of bringing that out. And I don't know, when you're directing an animation endeavor, you know, I don't know what a director does in that situation. I mean, obviously he works with the animators to get the scenes right, and he watches the animation as it's going along, but it's got to be a really different process to direct an animated movie than it is to direct a live action. So anyway, that was really good. I enjoyed that movie quite a bit. And I wish more movies were out there. I think, and myself included, you know, when I see a family movie or a kid's movie like that, I think, oh, well, yeah, I'll go see that on DVD. I don't think, oh, I really need to go to that in the theater and see it and support it and all these things. I just say, oh, yeah, I'll watch it sometime on DVD. And maybe I should, you know, support those types of movies that are great. They're wonderful. I just saw that they're coming out with The Nut Job 2. And there's the Minions movie. And just so much garbage comes out for kids that are family-type movies just because they're animated or just because they're geared towards kids that are just not good at all. They're just kind of trash. But yet people love them, you know? Like they're the greatest thing in the world. Like all the Ice Age movies. Well, I guess I don't know too many people who love the Ice Age movies. I know people that know everything from them. You know, the first one was okay and everything. Then a movie like this comes out, and I don't know how well it did at the box office, or if, you know, I don't know what its score is on Rotten Tomatoes or anything. But it's just a delightful movie. I just really enjoyed it. It's probably one of the best animated movies I've watched in a long time, and that includes Pixar movies and things like that. So Very well done. Well, I guess it was... It's not just animated, is it? I'm speaking incorrectly. It's live action and animation, right? I meant to say that at the beginning, but I just keep talking about it like it's an animated movie completely. But anyway, yes, there's the girl is a live action character. The queen and all the people in the queen's castle, all the humans are real, but all the giants are animated. And of course, all the dream catcher stuff and all that. And that was just fascinating to me. So yeah, one of these days I'm going to have to go back and read the book. We have a collection of Roald Dahl at the house. I just probably should read that and some of the other ones to remind myself of what's in there. And I guess going along with the theme of live action combined with computer animation, that would be Jon Favreau's The Jungle Book that came out last year. I think the new Jungle Book was a good movie. I enjoyed watching it. When it was over, I thought, well done, good job. I don't know if people that had not seen Disney's Jungle Book from the 70s, if they would have liked this movie as much without that as a source material. It was interesting and good because of the differences and the departures that it took from the Disney original animated Jungle Book. You know, it had the same characters in there, but it used them in different ways. And it's been so long since I've actually read The Jungle Book that I don't remember if this new movie was more true to the book material than the original Disney film was. Because the original Disney film took a lot of liberties. It had the basic characters and the basic premise, but of course when you added in the musical numbers and that kind of thing, and you know, the plot did change quite a bit. I wouldn't consider myself an expert on The Jungle Book. I really enjoy the story, and I've seen, I think, all the different variations of The Jungle Book on film. I used to love to watch the old black and white one that was on long ago. They used to rerun quite a bit on TV, and I think I saw it. Might have even reran in the theater, like for a summer movie for kids kind of thing. But yeah, I've seen that adaptation several times. And the snake battle, I used to just love that. And then, of course, there's the Disney animated version. And then there was the Jungle Book that came out in the 90s. Anyway, there was another live-action version of that. And now this one, which is based on the Disney version, but stands alone as well. It's an amazing feat of filmmaking because you just had this one kid was the only live action part of the movie, and he had to act all by himself against these imaginary things going on. You know, when you think about that while you're watching the movie, it's a pretty interesting idea. Wow, how did he ever get this kid to act against nothing? And it turned out pretty well, as all that considered. So anyway, we can go through the different characters from the movie. Of course, the best casting and the best character in the movie was Baloo, with Bill Murray being Baloo. The whole getting the honey from the side of the cliff thing was great. I loved that. You know, I don't think it was done in the book, and definitely not in the Disney animated movie, but I thought that whole part of the movie was pretty neat. I liked Bagheera as well. I thought that was done really well, and I can't remember who voiced Bagheera. That's too bad. I want to say it was Ben Kingsley, and I really liked the stuff with the wolves at the beginning of the movie. You know, there's a lot about the wolves in the book and about him growing up in the pack and being a bear cub or a man cub, and you know how the Akela felt about Mogwai and how the mother felt. Of course, you know, all of Cub Scouts is built around the Jungle Book. Anyway, you know, it talks in the Cub Scout books about, you know, listening to Akela and being part of the pack, and you know, the cubs are in packs and things like that. So you know, I've learned a lot of that through dealing, being with Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts and stuff. But anyway, I liked that they did more with kind of the wolves at the beginning and with Blue. And I thought it was interesting that they cast Scarlett Johansson as Ka, the snake. And that worked pretty well. But I like, what's his name? Anyway, the voice of Ka in the original Disney animated movie, same voice as Winnie the Pooh. I love his voice and his characterizations. But yeah, for an animated movie, or for a live action / computer animated movie, it was kind of neat that they went a different direction and had Scarlett Johansson in there. Of course, the fight with Ka, still, I go back to that old black and white movie. That was pretty cool in there. The character that I didn't really like in the new movie was Shere Khan. I don't know. Just, he looked kind of mangy. I guess that in there, it was maybe a casting thing too. The voice didn't sound as good to me for that. I don't know. He just showed up a lot more than I was expecting. And I don't know what it was about him that I didn't care for. But again, just a love, man, such a good book. Such great characters. And I really liked the Jungle Book. I thought it was also interesting how big King Louie was. I mean, my goodness, that's like a giant orangutan in there. And it was good that he wasn't singing, "I want to be like you. I want to be like you, talk like you, ooh, ooh, ooh." The original animated movie was, all those songs were great, and of course I remember them. But for this movie, for this newer one, this live-action movie, you know, I'm glad they didn't do a lot of the music. Of course, the Bare Necessities was great to include that in there, because that is a pretty cool song and pretty centric to, you know, Baloo. Mowgli, great source material. I liked this adaptation of it. The King Louie stuff was kind of cool. You know, it seemed like almost the Kong version of an orangutan. So you have King Kong, and then you have King Louie. They could fight each other in a movie. You know, I guess they're making they're going to have a Godzilla versus King Kong movie. So now I think they could add King Louie in there. It could be like, you know, a comic book thing where they fight each other and then they team up to fight somebody bigger than themselves or something like that. Yeah, that was pretty interesting. Definitely more peril in going up against King Louie when he's a giant orangutan like that than it was in the original animated movie. But anyway, what struck me about both of these movies, the BFG and the Jungle Book, is it really made me want to go back and read these books again, these children's books. You know, like I've said, I've read Jungle Book, but it's been quite a while, and I just love that source material. Those characters are so great in there. I'm trying to remember, how does the new Jungle Book end? Maybe you can call in and tell me, or send me an email and tell me. Anyway, yeah, it's not, "And I come to fetch the water." I thought the ending to the Disney one was kind of lame. Still, I love all those songs in that movie. Anyway, yeah, the BFG I thought was, like I said, great. A wonderful movie to watch. And it makes me want to go back and read that. So, what movies have you watched that made you want to go back and read the children's book? You know, based on a children's book. You know, what's your favorite material there? You know, could go, another one that we could throw in there is the original Charlie and the Chocolate Factory movie from the 70s with Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka. You know, that's another wonderful movie made from a great children's book. And yeah, it does take some liberties with the source material, but I think all in good ways. It was in the spirit of that. And I guess in my mind, I would like to see a Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator is an awesome book too. They go up in space and they fight against aliens, and what else is going on in that book? There's so many fun things in there. Why has nobody ever done a movie of Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator? Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to see Johnny Depp. Nothing against Johnny Depp. I actually really like Johnny Depp in a lot of the things that he does, but yeah, not Willy Wonka, thank you. But yeah, I'd be interested to hear. Why don't you call into the voicemail line at 77J107, or get on your email and send an email to journeyintopodcast@gmail.com, or you can register on the forums at journeyinto.freeforums.org. Post something on Facebook or Twitter. Give me your favorite adaptations of children's books, or a children's book that you loved when you were young or old that you would love to see adapted into a movie and done really well. Would you like it to be computer animated? Would you like it to be live action? If it's computer animated, would you prefer the Pixar style, or would you prefer, you know, what is now becoming so prevalent with the more realistic computer animation? Like I said, I think these two movies were great examples of what can be done, more so with the BFG. Yeah, I think the Jungle Book was pretty cool as well. And there you have it, folks. Another thrilling half hour of the Netflix queue. I might try to put some themes to these things that are in my queue if I see a pattern that's happening in them. You know, I do have kids at home, and so I think next time I'll probably talk about some of these YA movies that I've seen and what my impressions of them are. Anyway, I can talk about that. So, more power to you, and I hope you have a great week and a great month. We'll come back here. We'll do some more Netflix queuing. We'll see what else is strewn along the path. I might try to record something other than Netflix queue just to break it up a little bit. Who knows what order I'm going to do these in. Bye-bye. A cold and friendless tide has found you. Don't let the stormy darkness pull you down. Strewn Along the Path is produced under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives License. This means that you can feel free to share this file with whoever you would like, but please do not sell it for money or alter the file. Reaching out to show, as sure.